Christians, I among them, believe that Jesus died for the whole world. At the same time, Jews don't claim Jesus as their Messiah. But as I read the Bible, God clearly made promises to the Jews that have not been broken by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. God also made promises to the ancestors of people who call themselves Muslim. Those promises we don't believe God has broken either. So clearly the other Abrahamic faiths have access to God the Father without consciously going through Jesus.
What have I done to deserve this?
Welcome to Faith and Reason, the apologetics, Christian-based apologetics show, where we answer difficult questions about Christianity. We expose the errors of such things as atheism, Roman Catholicism, evolution, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, New Age, Islam, and various other religious and secular systems. Why? Because Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and life. And if you don't receive him as your Savior, you're lost and you're in trouble on the day of judgment.
Hey, how y'all doing out there? It's Carm Radio time, and today is the 13th of December 2011 for the podcasters. Hey, I was out Friday, my birthday. I was out yesterday because they had a Christmas party here at the station, so I had a four-day weekend. We're back in. It's live. A lot of people were wondering about that. Got some calls at the office. Hey, are you live or not, or what? What's going on? And that's that. So, hey, look, there's a lot to talk about, but let me get the phone number out if you want to call and kind of connect in here. The number is 877-207-2276. Feel free to give me a call. We can talk about stuff, you know, apologetics, politics, evolution, philosophy, truth, whatever you want to talk about, we can do that. And if you want to get in via Skype, all you got to do is type in, go to Skype and just type in Carm Radio. Actually, no, that's wrong. Carm.org. 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 And you'll be able to get in via Skype. Everything should be working then. All right. Let's see. You know, a couple of things just worth mentioning. Lowe's Hardware. I went there today. My wife and I went there today specifically for a reason. And we did not go to Home Depot specifically for a reason. I'm going to tell you what that is. You see, Home Depot is now supporting the pro-homosexual movement. And, I have the right to spend my money where I want to. So, for me, Home Depot is off limits. I'm not going to be going there, and haven't been. I heard that Lowe's pulled an ad from the All-American Muslim TV show. And when I found out, I said to my wife, let's go to Lowe's and buy something. Let's just go and buy something. We did. So we went there today. I got a clock. Well, me, the house. We've had this clock on a wall that's been broken for like 2 years. We got it fixed and it got broken again because, well, we do things in our house like have marshmallow fights. And, well, the clock got broken during a marshmallow fight. What is a marshmallow fight, you ask? I'll tell you what it is. A marshmallow fight is when you have a fight with marshmallows. That's what it is. Now, I'd recommend if you're going to do this in the house, which is really a lot of fun, you take down the breakables. Sorry, but you got to do that. And then you take like 8,000 marshmallows. And I always start it because I like to throw the first set of marshmallows. Take a handful out of a bag and start chucking them. Just chucking them all over the place at people. They duck, they dive, crash into each other, fall down. You hear grunts and groans. People pick up marshmallows, start chucking them. It's just like horizontal snow inside the house. And that was my wife's idea years ago, and we had a lot of fun. And what's really cool is that afterwards, you know, you're cleaning up a couple weeks later, a couple months later, vacuuming, move a couch, there's some marshmallows. They're all dry and hard. And you're going, yeah, marshmallow fight. A lot of fun. So our clock broke because of all this activity, but it looks really cool. We didn't know what else to put up there, and we got a clock, those big wall clocks, big ones. And we put it on our wall. That's about a foot and a half now in diameter. I want one of those like 6 feet in diameter clocks. That's what I really want, you know, it's something like that, you know, it's like, And imagine having a bell on that, bing, you know, and everybody, boy, I'd wake you up. You know, you're watching TV, you know, some little spooky thing with the zombie apocalypse or something, and bang, you know, ah, gross. So, anyway, I want a big one. I like big ones, really big clocks. That way you can look over and go, hey, look what time it is. So, I went to Lowe's and met actually two interesting people there. So, you know, I met this guy that we bought our dishwasher from about a year ago, literally a year ago. And we had talked a little bit of theology while waiting for stuff to get done, paperwork. And because he asked, what do you do? I tell him, people, what do you do? I tell him, this is what I do, you know, radio and website, write books, theology. We get talking. And so, you know, I'm walking in and he goes, hey, Slick. And he remembered me from a year ago. And now that could be good, might not be good, but it turned out to be good, and we got talking. And then this lady there overheard us, and we got talking. And I'm hoping she calls, you know, either the show. I gave her my card, and we're going to talk about maybe a little bit of theology. Hopefully, we'll see. You never know. At any rate, so Lowe's. Hey, I'm serious. No one asked me to do this. I am just totally supporting Lowe's for pulling their ads from the All-American Muslim show. I'm serious. Because, you know, it's all-American Muslim. You know, people don't even know what Islam really teaches. You know, it teaches women can be mortgaged, teaches beating your wife is okay. This is in the Quran. Teaches a man's seed comes from his chest. In the Hadith, it says Adam was 90 feet tall. Muhammad was ordered by Allah to fight people, all people, until they worship Allah. Guess what? Don't pass wind while you're praying, because then the angels won't carry your prayers to Allah. You know, a man slept through the prayer time and the devil peed in his ear. This is what Muhammad taught. Teaches killing people, fight for Allah, kill them wherever you find them. I'm reading stuff out of the Quran. You know, it's just those who do believe do battle for the cause of Allah. The only reward of those who make war upon Allah and his messengers and strive is to be crucified. When the Lord inspired the angels, I'm with you, so make those who stand firm throw fear into their hearts. It goes on, slay non-Muslims in the Quran in 9:5. This is what Islam teaches. And it's a dangerous religion. Let me tell you. It is a dangerous religion. I challenge any Muslim, listen to me, seriously, to come in the studio with me and get on the air. Let's talk Islam. I'm dead serious. I want you to come in. Free, it'll be, you know, no charge. We'll go back and forth. But I'm going to have a bodyguard in here. I'm dead serious. I will have a bodyguard. Because, I just know what Islam teaches. And if a Muslim really believes the Quran, then, well, I got to be careful. I'd make sure he didn't have any weapons on him. I'm dead serious. I'd have a bodyguard here, and the guy would be frisked. Now, if that's insulting, okay. Hey, better you be insulted than me alive. Seriously. Why do I say that? Because I know what Islam teaches. I know what it teaches. So check this out. It says, the hypocrites and those whose hearts is a disease and the agitators in the city do not desist. Cursed, wherever they are found, they shall be seized and murdered, a horrible murdering. Such has been the course of Allah with respect to those who have gone before, and you shall not find any change in the course of Allah. That's the Quran, chapter 33, verses 60 through 62. I mean, how about this one? When the sacred months have passed, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. That's what it says. That's the Quran, chapter 9, verse 5. That's what it says. I mean, come on. So if I were in a room with a Muslim who, you know, defending his Islam, I mean, I'd be polite, not going to threaten him. You know, just, hey. But that's the condition. Any Muslim wants to come in here and talk to me about Islam, about the Quran, the Hadith, Muhammad, Jesus, whatever you want to talk about, righteousness, salvation, doesn't matter. We could talk. No problem. We have two mics. We'll just take turns going back and forth. We'll have a nice little discussion. I challenge any Muslim in the area who wants to do that, come in. We'll do it. Okay? But I'm telling you, I'm going to have a bodyguard. I've got offers for people to be bodyguards. Dead serious. No, I'm not just being fanatical and, you know, paranoid. It's just, I just know what the Quran teaches. Hey, you want to know what else Islam teaches? magic worked on Muhammad. Magic worked on the prophet so that he began to fancy that he was doing a thing which he was not actually doing. This is a prophet of God. Muhammad owned a black slave. He says, I came and behold, Allah's apostle was staying on a mashraba, an attic room, and a black slave of Allah's apostle was at the top of the stairs. Muhammad had people killed. Allah's apostle entered Mecca in the year of its conquest wearing an Arabian helmet on his head, and when the prophet took it off, a person came and said, Ibn Qatal is holding the covering of the Kaaba, taking refuge in the Kaaba. The prophet said, kill him. Just stuff like that. Muhammad, check this out. Muhammad got up saying, Allah's apostle. Wait a minute, there's all these weird names. Muhammad bin Maslama got up saying, oh, Allah's apostle, would you like that I kill him? Ka'ab bin al-Ashraf. The prophet said, yes. Muhammad bin Maslama said, then allow me to say a false thing to deceive Ka'ab. The prophet said, you may say it. So, killing, stuff like that. Let's see, did you know this? Voluptuous women await Muslim men in paradise. Verily, for the righteous, there will be a fulfillment of the heart's desires, gardens enclosed and grapevines of voluptuous women of equal age. That's in the Quran, chapter 78, 31 through 33. It's okay to beat your wives. As to those women on whose part you fear disloyalty and ill conduct, admonish them. Refuse to share their beds and beat them. Lastly, that's what it says in Quran 4:34. Beat them. Muslim men marry up to four women. Did you know that? And it says, don't take Jews and Christians as your friends. That's in the Quran 5:51. O you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. That's what it says. Hey, you're going to like these next two ones. The soul, according to the Quran chapter 75, verses 26 to 28 says this. Yea, when the soul reaches to the collarbone in its exit, and there will be a cry, he was a magician to restore him. So the soul leaves out the collarbone. I don't know if you knew that. You break your collarbone, does that mean you're soulless? Okay, how about this one? This is in the Hadith, which is the Deeds and the Sayings of Muhammad. Volume 8, book 82, number 794. Got a link to it on there. Some people from the tribe of Ukul came to the prophet and embraced Islam. The climate of Medina did not suit them, so the prophet ordered them to go to the herd of milch, to the camels of charity, and to drink their milk and urine. Yeah. Anyway, did you know that when Muslims gain power in a certain country, that what happens is great persecutions of Christians ensues? This is just always what happens. Now, we have a foreign exchange student living with us who's French, and my wife speaks French, and they talk and in English. You know, she speaks English great. This our French foreign exchange student. Well, about 14 years ago or so, we have relatives on my wife's side from France, and the lady is a retired airline pilot, so she'll fly over here every now and then, and she speaks great English. So 14 years ago, we were talking about Islam in France and how bad it was, and I remember she said, oh, no, everything's fine. You're good people. And we couldn't convince her. And I said, you wait. It's going to get bad. And she just rolled her eyes, you know, lovingly, patiently, respectfully, but rolled her eyes. And so she's back about 3 years ago. We got talking about Muslims again. He shouldn't have anything good to say. She, you know, didn't defend him at all this time because she knows what's going on. In fact, our foreign exchange student and I, we were talking. And just what I've heard, she's confirming there are cities that are run by Muslims where the police don't even want to go into. The national police, the police of France don't want to go into these cities because they can get killed. This is how Islam is, the religion of peace. Yeah, peace of your arm, peace of your leg. Yeah, that's a religion of peace. It's bad news. And these wacko liberal losers who just say, oh, it's just such a religion of peace. We believe whatever the Muslims tell us. You know, these kind of people who don't know how to think past their nose. You know, A fact? What's a fact? I don't know what a fact is. You mean the Quran actually teaches killing? Oh, that's so old. They wouldn't do that. They're nice people. Let's just promote them. Let's have them come into our country. Let's be open to them. That's what they did in Norway, I believe it is. And now they don't know how to get rid of the Muslims. They want them out. They want them gone. They don't enculturate. In France, they're a problem. In Germany, they're a problem. In England, they're a problem. They're going to be a problem here in America. Am I racist? No. But I'm just telling you, it's a bad religion. It's a bad religion. It really is. So, way to go, Lowe's. Way to go, Lowe's, for pulling your ad and not supporting a television show that makes an anti-government, anti-safety, anti-democracy religion look good. That's what it is. Islam is anti-republic, anti-democracy. You guys don't know that. The Quran is not just a religious book about how to eat and look up when you pray, or whatever, by your nose to the ground when you pray. It's not like that. It's actually a political, social construction. It does not allow democracy, republic, to work. It takes it over and kicks it out. And if you disagree with them, they, when they get big enough and strong enough, they persecute you. This is what's happening all over the world. I know, that's right, born again. I heard about that. Thanks for reminding me in the chat room. A California state senator, his last name must be Moron, is considering a legal action against Lowe's for pulling the ads. Now get this. Lowe's is its own company, and we got a senator trying to do legal action for a private company pulling an ad where they want it to be or not to be. And so now they're thinking about legal action. If I were the Lowe's president, I'd say, you know what, butthead? Bring it on. Bring it on. We'll do everything we can to make you look as bad as possible. Take it all the way. That's what I do. I mean, come on. You know, we gotta stand up. We Christians gotta stand up. Come on, stop lying down for the political correct idiocy that's going on out there. It's lame. It's stupid. Gosh. I wish. I'm wishing. I'm thinking. I'm wishing. Yeah, it is. I said butthead. Can I say butthead over the air? Hey, Candace? She doesn't know. I don't know if I can say that over the air. What? I say crap. I can say that word. What's that? Oh, she's got a call. Okay. So, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. I wish that, what I wish is that we had some, like, you know, central Christian something where it's like, hey, everybody, come listen to this. Okay, Senator Moron in California is saying this about, you know, the Lowe's thing, and you write it up in the whole bit. And everybody, just like deluge this guy with letters saying, hey, stop being a moron. And then what I really would want, is there somebody out there who knows how to do this? I want a hand. I want a hand. There's a suction cup. You know, it's like a little suction cup, you know, 3 inches wide or something like that. The suction cup you put on a table. It's spring-loaded. And there's an internal device or something like this. It's a soft hand, you know, palm hand, finger straight, thumb and everything, a human hand. And you can click it back. And it'll, like be in place. And then in three clicks, you know, whack! It, you know, it moves forward. It just slips forward. And so that you can send it to people with instructions on how to slap themselves upside the head. You know, and I'd like to have something like that and be sending it to people. Here, this is the slap yourself upside the head kit. I want someone to make me one of these. I don't know. What's this? Someone in the chat room. I almost got in trouble by one of my teachers for actually praying during our moment of silence. Where? What, Santiago? In school? Man, I tell you, if I was in a school and I'm praying in a moment of silence and the teachers came all over, don't do that. I'd be like, you know what? Don't talk to me. I'll go to the principal. I'll go to the board of directors. I'll go to a lawyer. Don't tell me what to do in here. I'd make a scene. I'd say it loud. Don't be telling me what to do. Yes. Actually, manage another one. I know you don't have a lot of time, but if you could craft a letter, we would copy and paste to send legislators. I can know how to. I can get a lawyer, doc. What you can say and you can't say. I'm not going to do stuff like that. Oh man. But I'm a nobody. Who's going to trust Reverend Slick? Hey, did you get the letter from Reverend Slick? Yeah, it's wonderful. I trust whatever Reverend Slick says, because he obviously knows what he's doing. Yeah, that's going to work great, isn't it? Oh, hey, if you want to call, 877-207-2276. And you can also get in via Skype. Just dial, or type in, I should say, whatever it is, carm.org, carn.org. We can get you right in. Let's get to Brian from Calgary. Brian?
Hi, Matt. How are you tonight?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Just a little tweaked about morons.
Getting a little steamed, eh?
A little bit. Just a little bit. But, you know, moronic stuff gets me going. So.
Anyway. Oh, exactly. Same here. Well, the reason I was calling was I was going to call originally, but you're talking about Islam. And
that's okay.
Muslims and all that. Mm-hmm. In Canada, just 2 days ago, I think it was, they ruled on new citizenship for the women, Islamic women, to not wear face coverings.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Islam community is calling Islamophobia right now.
Islamophobia. Exactly. It's not in the Quran to wear the head coverings. It's not there.
Exactly. And that's what our immigration minister stated. And, of course, they start speaking with the head of the Islamic Canadian Association. And the first thing that comes out is Islamophobia.
Yeah, well, see, that's what they do. You know, Islamophobia. Well, I would just say, sorry, you're Canada-ophobia. You know, it's like, exactly. Seriously, this kind of stuff is like schoolyard. No, you're a bigger student. No, you are. No, you are. It's what it is. You know, Islamophobia. No, you are. It's ridiculous idiocy. Gosh, sorry. This gives me cold.
Yeah. Well, I work in the arts community in Calgary.
Yeah.
And the strangest thing about it is that Christians are first on the, you know, open season on Christians by everyone that works there.
Oh, of course.
And the irony of the whole thing is that, it's not necessarily irony, but we have a mosque in our building.
What?
Yeah, I work in the Art Center in Calgary, and it has five theaters of the Free Thinkers and...
Wait. Yeah? Five theaters of the Free Thinkers?
Well, that's what I call them. I'm just joking around. But as soon as you bring up anything Christian, there's no more free thought anymore.
Get me up there. Let me add those guys.
Oh, yeah, I know. And
rip into them.
I can tell you an incident that happened the other day was interesting.
Sure.
I live there. It feels like I live there. I work enough hours. But I'm working this office, and there's several computers in there. And, of course, I'm sitting in there. They know I'm a Christian. And we put up a Christmas tree in the lobby of one of the theaters. And last year they ruled that there would be no adornment on the top of the tree because it would offend people. And that would have been the star. The star was offensive.
A star is offensive.
Yeah, and I couldn't figure that one out.
A star is offensive.
A star, yeah. So anyway, this woman came into the back of the office and I brought it up. I said, oh, the top of the tree was crooked. And she stated that... oh, well, she said, if I could talk to the Christians right now, and she knows I am one, you know, with a room full of people, stating that how upset the Christians would be if we really understood that it was actually Mithra that we were celebrating.
Yeah, that's just so stupid. The unbelievers tell us what our religion really is, as they're so arrogantly knowledgeable about stuff, and they talk like that. I've had that so many times, just like that. It's so stupid. Gosh.
Oh, I was holding back big time. But the thing is, the funny thing, she ended up saying, well, we all work in the arts anyway, so we're all going to hell. So I said, so then you must believe in a God. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you know, it's really bad. You know, I guess the only thing I can really think of, I'm going to go to 2 Thessalonians 2 here, and because it's so bad. You know, look, I'm going to say this. I'm doing research on Beth Moore now, and a little on Joyce Meyer, and reading their books, their book titles, and Joel Osteen. I'm telling you. Those people, they tickle ears, man. All the positive. I'm Mr. Negative. You know, you got to have a good time. I'm going to walk in your party, throw ice water in there, and yell at everybody. That's what I am. And nobody wants to hear what I got to say because they don't want the truth. But I'm telling you, we Christians better stand up. Oh, man. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians 2, talks about the coming deception. And, you know, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth. But God will send, where is it? God will send a deluding influence so they will believe the lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening.
Oh, totally.
I'm sorry, just...
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Joel Osteen, Todd Friel there on his wretched video clip, I think this morning, I thought, was Joel Osteen's welcoming Oprah to the congregation. And it was just a love fest right from there. Yeah.
I'd welcome her to my congregation. I wouldn't use her or single her out and say, welcome to the congregation. Sit down. Of course, I'd wonder how long she'd stay after she would after hear me preach. Is it something I said about Jesus being the only way? And everybody going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus? God in flesh? Did that bother anybody?
Oh, wow.
Come back.
Yeah, well... Anyway, I run a little apologetics page on Facebook, and I wrote an article about my Christmas experience and the open season on Christians, and
it's
really frustrating. Really don't know how to handle it. I know I'm regenerated because I just start shaking. I'm so mad, you know. But I don't say much. I don't really know how to handle it yet. So.
Well, we are outnumbered. Christians aren't praying. We really do know what to do, but Christians don't want to do it. They don't want the, it just comes down to this. Picking up the cross of Christ is not what's being taught today. Picking up that cross, following him into the world and doing what's necessary. But they are, it's not pick up the cross. You've got to pick up another little metaphor, I guess. Pick up the comforter and follow Joel Osteen, you know. It's that kind of a thing. It's not the cross, it's the comforter we got to pick up. And that's it. And we're being lulled by feel-good messages and the uplifting stuff all the time. In fact, I have some friends, maybe they're going to be listening, but I'm hearing this more and more. All that matters is the love of God. And I've been thinking about that, and that is a formula for apostasy when that is taught, that all that matters is the love of God. Anyway, hey, man, never been to Canada. Want to go sometime.
Yeah, well, I'm actually just in the process of moving to California, so.
Really? Where in Cali?
Down in Vacaville.
Oh, Vacaville. That's going to be interesting for you. That's going to be quite a change.
Yeah, it's going to be a big change. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of, let's just say, Hispanic population in that area.
Yeah, I've been down there, so.
Yeah.
But, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an adventure, and.
Yeah.
And hope with the Lord's help, it'll all work out. So,
yeah.
But Calgary's a nice place to visit, too. So it's good skiing if you ski. So.
I did once hurt my knee and quit, saving my body. I just turned 55, so I got to keep myself in good shape. I'm an ancient now.
Just about 53 myself, and I've never skied, and I'm in probably some of the world's best skiing. That's the way it works, I guess.
That's the way it works. That's right. All right, buddy.
Well, thanks, Matt, for your time. That was great.
All right, Brian. God bless, man.
God bless you.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to call, 877, that's toll free, 877, then 207, and then the letters C-A-R-M, CARM. So it's just toll free, 877-207-CARM, and you can get right in. If you want to get in via Skype, just type in carm.org. That's actually the website, but it also works there in Skype. And listen to Carm Radio. I am your host, Matt Slick. And it's not a radio name. It's my real name, Matt Slick. Let's get to Greg from Missouri. Greg.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing?
Doing fine, buddy. Hey, nice to hear from you again. What's up? What do you got?
It's been a while. Couple things. I'm catching up on the podcast. And you had one lady from Temecula who was asking about the various... things like Cindy Jacobs and new Reformation apostles.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes.
New Apostle, Reformation, whatever.
New Apostolic something, yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but that's the thing that Chris Roseborough covers all the time.
Really?
And he reviews that. And if she really, really wanted to hear some good
Pirate Christian
analysis
radio.
Of that, he just picks it apart every day.
Yeah, Chris and I have talked a bit. We've been in communication, and He's a good guy. We're going to try and work with him on some stuff. Christian Pirate Radio, or the Pirate Christian Radio. And,
yeah,
and
Chris Rumpler. His show that he does is called Fighting for the Faith.
Right. Yep. I was just listening a little bit today on his show, doing research on Beth Moore and some other stuff. But, because it's really weird. I got all of a sudden in like 24 hours, three focuses of different directions on Beth Moore came out of nowhere. And so it's like, maybe God wants me to start studying her a little bit. So
yeah, there's been a few articles written about her really confused theology.
Yeah, I want to know what the confused theology is. You know, I went to her website and I looked around, and if the problem is it sounded like I'm a heresy hunter. I'm only looking for the bad, and that's not the case. You know, I mean, I wanted to find good stuff, but I didn't see a doctrinal statement. And that concerns me whenever I go to any Christian ministry and there's no statement of faith. What do they believe? What do they teach?
Mm-hmm.
And that concerned me. You know, it's like, okay, doesn't mean that you have to have it, but it really is a good idea if you're a Christian ministry influencing millions of people to state what you're about. And then it had a mission statement, which had good stuff in it, seriously. And that, no problem there. But then it had this thing on how to become a Christian, and it was three steps. Just recognize you're a sinner, basically ask Jesus into your heart kind of a thing. And I'm like, it was a very, very...
It doesn't define sin either.
It doesn't define sin, doesn't say that there's a consequence, didn't mention God's holiness, didn't mention the law. And it's this kind of thing that really is scary to me. Because I'm not saying that someone can't be saved with that, because God is sovereign. But what I'm worried about is a mamby-pamby gospel that's being taught. Just receive Jesus, give him a try, and see how your life is. And then people give it a try, and it doesn't work for 2 months. So I was a Christian once, it didn't work. Because they don't really have that true depth of the teaching of what it really is. And that's it. In fact, I've been doing research on Joyce Meyer and now Beth Moore. What is with these women coming up being basically Bible teachers? Don't they read the word where it says, don't teach, don't do this? You know, women are not to be pastors and elders in these teaching authority positions over men. And I don't get it. Why don't they believe what the word says? Anyway. Right.
Another thing... I had a thought came to me once about involving Mormonism.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'll go to Bill McKeever's site, mrm.org, and I discovered he had a podcast.
Oh, yeah, he's got a radio thing.
Got a 15-minute-a-day radio show, Viewpoint on Mormonism, and it's awesome.
Oh, he's great. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bill is telling me about it. He's got 100 of them done. He and Eric Johnson sit in his office, and then he just get all the equipment set up, and they just do these things in their office. They just do them for hours at a time, and then they ship them up to a radio station and stuff like that.
Yeah. Even if you're not interested in the Mormonism, learning about his way of dealing with people and, being honest and forthright and humble. I mean, he really is a great role model, I think.
Well, he is he's a very humble guy, and I told him that once. I says, Bill, you're one of the most humble guys I know. And he just paused, and he said, yeah, I'm proud of my humility.
Well, the reason I went to his site, I woke up from a dream, in the morning when the alarm went off, and I was dreaming about telling somebody about Jehovah's Witnesses. And once I was awake, I realized, that's kind of boring. Jehovah's Witnesses. Religion is kind of boring. I really like studying Mormonism more. It's much more interesting. It's like early American science fiction.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think I wrote an article once talking about that. In fact, folks, Bill McKeever's website is mrm.org. Check it out. It's a great site on Mormonism. He's a world-class expert on Mormonism. But, yeah, I wrote an article on Mormonism. I think it's on the CARM website. I was joking around or whatever. But as you think about it, they teach that God is an alien, that teaches he's a life form on another planet. Well, that's what an alien is. And didn't Joseph Smith say that these two beings were levitating above the ground? Huh? Yeah. And a bright light came from above. Huh? And he's supposed to have been able to run with these plates, which if he said they were gold, they weighed over 200 pounds. He wouldn't have been able to run with them. And there's no supernatural anything. Well, there had to be an alien alloy that was looked like gold but was really light so he could run. It all makes sense. It's an aliens.
Well, I don't know why, but the thought occurred to me. You know, they have part of their belief system that there was a council of the gods, you know, in trying to determine what to do about Earth.
Yeah.
And that Jesus and his brother Lucifer were there to have their input and make their suggestions. And go, wait a minute, they weren't gods yet. Why were they as the council of the gods? In fact, they're two steps away from being gods because you had to become a man first before you could be exalted to godhood.
Well, don't forget,
they're like two steps down.
The Holy Spirit.
These are commoners compared to the royalty of gods.
You got that right. You got that right. The Holy Spirit's
Bill
a god.
Bill McKeever that. What?
The Holy Spirit's a god, but he's never a man. But that's go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I asked. Well, that's inconsistent. Well, I asked him about that. And he said, "Well, you know, the Mormons are not consistent. They would say, well, Jesus was already a god, but." But he said, that doesn't answer why Lucifer would have been there. You know, he wasn't a god. Why was he in this council?
Yeah, you know, and so they had this plan for redemption of mankind, and where Lucifer, basically everyone would be saved, he'd get the glory, and not everyone would be saved in Jesus' plan, and the Father would get the glory, so the Father went with Jesus' plan, and so the devil rebelled and became the devil. Lucifer became the devil. That's how it happened in Mormonism.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that there's Mormon writers that came up with Battlestar Galactica, but also I think it was a Mormon that came up with this Twilight series books, too.
Really? Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. You know, they have the Lords of Kobol, not Kolob, but Kobol.
Well, Bill and I were joking around one day. We were talking about having Mormon Olympics, so it'd be like the Golden Plate toss. You know, he had a whole bunch of them, and you know, you have to wear the underwear in a sauna. Who, you know, who can last the longest? There would be the tumble and run, or the run and tumble while you're being chased by three guys. You had to run 2 mile course and not fall down. You know, just stuff like this, you know, so many things, but. We're joking around.
Yeah, really. Bicycle races. You got to have bicycle races.
Oh, absolutely. Bicycle races. Who can carry...
2x2.
Yeah, that's right. Who can carry the most Book of Mormons, you know? Things like
bounce
that.
Bounce a quad on your hip while you're...
That's right.
...twisting scripture. Yeah.
That's right. Who can write a better poem with the word quad in it?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. It'd be fun.
Oh, but we're making fun that, you know, Bill McKeever wouldn't do that in public.
No, I just outed him about having fun about the Mormons. But he's pretty a humble guy. But hey, the Mormons make fun of themselves too. And I remember seeing a Mormon thing where there's a single door, obviously in the desert, a house had fallen down. The only thing left was this door frame and a door, and there's two Mormon missionaries knocking at it. You know, and it was funny. You know, they have a good sense of humor about themselves too, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But
you know, I'm in the land where Garden of Eden was here in Missouri, so.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right outside Kansas City.
Yeah.
On Independence.
That's right. Bill and Sandra Tanner, as a matter of fact. You know who she is? Do you know who Sandra Tanner is?
Yeah, yeah. You
know, yeah, she and Bill and I and Keith Walker and Eric Johnson and a bunch of us we were out there at the EMNR annual meeting, the Evangelical Ministry to New Religions. And we took a tour out there to Hans Mill. We went to the place, saw that. So we went to the place that Adam and Eve actually fled to after they left the Garden of Eden, which is in Missouri, according to Mormonism.
Yeah.
So.
Well, didn't it also make it that Noah would have left from Missouri or left from North America and ended up?
I have to ask her. Bill, that'd be a good question to ask Bill. That'd be a good question. Yeah. I don't know what their view is on Noah, but I do know the Book of Mormon has the trip from Jerusalem basically over here to America, because that's what they teach, that the Israelites basically came over here and their descendants are the American Indians and stuff like that, which doesn't work. But at any rate, they said that their boats, which were as long as a tree, That's what it said, as long as a tree.
Yeah.
And that they were blown by a mighty wind for, I forget how many days, or, you know, it said how many months or something like this, or weeks. Anyway, some people did some calculations on this, and they know pretty much how fast a barge, just a barge, will be driven in the water with a large wind, with a strong wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like 1 mile an hour, half a mile an hour, something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the length of time that it said that the strong wind blew meant that the barges would have gone around the world like two or three times, you know, in the Book of Mormon. It's just like,
yeah.
Oops. It's got problems in it. That's one of them. Another one is I'm just reminding myself, but, you know, a guy got his head cut off, and then he pushes himself
yeah.
up and takes a breath.
Well,
it's impossible.
And they had weren't those barges supposed to be shaped kind of like a football, and they wanted to put an air hole in it, and they
yeah.
said, well, what if it's on the bottom? And they said, well, put one on the other side, too. And
yeah, that's right. yeah. But, you know, to be fair, you can actually have a boat with a hole on the bottom that won't sink, because you could have a hole that's a vertical tube that comes up above the water line inside.
Oh, yeah.
So you could throw waste into it. It would go down and out. But I'm just trying to be fair. But still,
But the thing is, then they had to think, well, how are we going to breathe? And God kind of said, oh, yeah, you better put a hole in the top.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do that, and you got problems. Put a hole, yeah. Because a hole in the bottom, hole in the top, open, it will sink. That's basic physics. But, mm-hmm. hey, you know, there you go.
Yep.
All right, big man.
Good fun. So I do recommend that podcast. It's 15 minutes a day. It's really good stuff.
He is the man when it comes to Mormonism. I got a question
sure.
I can't answer. I just call him up, and he gives it to me. He gives me the answer. He's good.
Yep.
All right. All right, buddy.
Well, good talking to you.
All right, man. We'll see you. God bless.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, that was Greg from Missouri. I am Matt Slick, and you're listening to Carm Radio Show here. And if you want to call, the number is 877-207-2276. Feel free to give me a call. If you want to get in via Skype, just type in carm.org. That's carm.org. Let's get to Kevin from Chicago. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing okay, man. What do you got?
Yeah, I think when I tell you this, you might want to rent. So, yeah.
Okay.
I came across a book.
Yeah.
By one of our TV evangelists.
Okay.
And he said in the book that when God created Adam, he actually copied himself, and he put his divine DNA inside Adam. Wouldn't that be, ain't that heresy?
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, I have to laugh at heresy
yeah.
sometimes because it's just so stupid.
Did you want me to give you the title of the book and who the author is?
Yeah. Who's that?
The title of the book is The Blessing of the Lord. The title is The Blessing of the Lord.
Okay.
He make a vision out of no sorrow by Kenneth Copeland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought it would be Copeland. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kenneth Copeland, he says this, heaven has a north and a south and an east and a west.
Oh, yeah.
Consequently, it must be a planet.
Kenneth
Copeland said
that.
It's a planet. And, the earth is a copy of the mother planet. I mean, this is what Kenneth Copeland's teaching. This is idiocy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Here we go. Kenneth Copeland. God's reason for creating Adam was his desire to reproduce himself. I mean, a reproduction of himself. And in the Garden of Eden, he did just that. He was not a little like God. He was not almost like God. He was not subordinate to God, even. Adam is as much like God as you could get. Just the same as Jesus. Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh. That's following the faith of Abraham. What side? What?
Yeah.
This? I'm laughing because it is so satanically crappy. I mean, got any butthead again? You get the butthead award. This is a heresy award. It's horrible. It's just moronic idiocy. And this guy's teaching this, and he's still on TV teaching this moronic crap. And the Christians don't have enough. They don't have enough. I'm going to lose it. They don't have enough gumption, enough intelligence, enough sense to turn a guy off and not send him money. Hey, Mother Planet. Hey, there's just the mother Planet. Yeah, Adam was God. I mean, this moronic idiocy. It's Mormonism. Because that's what Joseph, yeah. I mean, that's what Brigham Young taught, Adam was God. And it was, okay, calm down. I got to calm down. Almost got me into a rant.
Yeah, that's not the only thing I heard him say. I heard him say more stuff than that.
Most what?
I said I heard him say more stuff than what you just said.
Oh, yeah, I got some quotes.
Years ago, I think it was back in 88 or 89, he was on TVN.
Mm-hmm.
How he called God the biggest failure in the Bible. Did you ever see him say that?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got it. God's the biggest failure. It's just idiocy, stupidity. You know, I'm saying it. This is moronic. Kenneth Copeland. Oh, gosh. Look. Here, let me read this one. This is what Kenneth Copeland says. God had no avenue of lasting faith or moving in the earth. He had to have a covenant with somebody. He had to be invited in. In other words, he couldn't come. God is on the outside looking in. In order to have any say-so on the earth, he's going to have to be in agreement with a man here. Or here's a God is failure quote. Look at this. This is out of his...
In other words, he was saying that God was no longer sovereign. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just demoting God to the level of humanity. And getting on TV and preaching this demonic doctrine, and people send him money. Look at this. I'm going to get going. We got people calling. But look, check this one out.
Okay.
This is from the Praise-a-thon program on TBN, April 1988. This is what he says. I was shocked when I found out who the biggest failure in the Bible actually is. The biggest one is God. I mean, he lost his top-ranking, most anointed angel, the first man he ever created, the first woman he ever created, the whole earth and all the fullness therein, a third of the angels at least. That's a big loss, man. Now, the reason you don't think God is a failure is he never said he's a failure. And you're not a failure until you say you're one.
So in other words, he's saying that since God
idiot.
Didn't say he's saying that since God didn't say he was a failure, you don't think he's one because he never said it. But
right. But he's
got to say that because there ain't no failure in him.
Yeah. Well, if saying it makes you one, then he's saying God's a failure. Then he's accusing God of failure and sin. Copeland is an idiot. He's a moron and should not be teaching on TV. Now, Joyce Meyer's got her problems, but it's nothing like this idiocy.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there's one thing she's taught this bad.
I came across her book. I heard you talking about it, I think, one day last week.
Yeah.
The most important decision you will ever make.
Oh, I got it.
I got that one, too.
Well, I just ordered her new one and got it. I got to do a comparison. It's the same book. I'm going to do a comparison. I read the same section, just went over it very quickly, and she's toned it down, but she's not denying. So I'm going to be doing a comparison on this. But, yeah, it's just, how come I can't get millions given to me so I can get on TV and start preaching and teaching? Why? Because, hey, just call me Mr. Cold Water. Yeah, that's why. That's right. Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, one of her older copies, she said that Jesus was the first born-again man.
Yeah, I know. It's moronic. It's idiocy.
Yep.
It is stupid. Seriously.
At that time, born again, that applies to sinners, and Jesus ain't no sinner.
That's right. Born again means to be changing your nature. It means to be regenerated. That's what it means. And that's what she's saying. Finish the atonement in hell. It's all heresy. It is heresy. If that is so particularly bad, that means, I'm not going to go. We got callers waiting. Need to get going, buddy. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Matt.
All right, buddy. Hey, God bless, man. You keep it up. All right?
All right. God bless. All right.
All right. Okay, we're going to get to Scott from Pennsylvania. Let me get the phone number out first. 877-207-2276. And if you want to get in via Skype, all you got to do is type in carm.org and get in via Skype. Let's get to Scott from Pennsylvania. Scott.
Good evening.
Hey, what do you got, man? What's up, buddy?
So I went with my parents to a nice little service that seemed to be Arminian.
Okay.
And the preacher was preaching off of Matthew 7, 13 and 14, and which says enter the straight gate and wide gate, and so then I'm Reformed, but my dad isn't. So we got into a discussion later, and about the sermon then, and he said, well, the preacher basically laid it out that there's two ways and you got to choose and all that. But my question was basically, as far as total depravity, why does it say that there's many that go that way, which what go in there at in the King James? And it seems, from one point of looking at it, it looked like man's on the neutral, and then there's good and there's bad. So what's your words of wisdom on that?
Well, those verses, which I'll read out loud for people, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it, for the gate is small, the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Yeah, it doesn't mean that it's completely up to individuals to simply choose out of their own free will. That's not what it's saying. It's just saying there's a lot who don't find it, and a few who do. Now, the reason they're going to find it is because of God's work and God's sovereignty. And also because I believe that men and women who are redeemed, have the ability to influence God in his sovereign plan by lifting up others for salvation. And I believe that's our obligation, and that's what saves. That's not what saves people, but it's what moves the hand of God to save people, in that kind of paradoxical, how can we do this from eternity kind of thing. But that's it. Matthew 7, 13, 14, no big deal. No big deal at all. Doesn't support doesn't support Arminianism or Calvinism or not support either one.
Right, yeah. Okay. A cross-reference in my Bible had taken it to Luke 13:24, I think it is, and
that says, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to find and will not be able. Yeah. See, you got to understand something. When Jesus speaks in the Bible, as does Paul, he'll speak to two kinds of people, a whole group or individuals. When someone's speaking to a group, you're going to say, seek, find, look for it, don't miss it. That's what you do. And when he speaks to individuals, he's telling us how it works with the individuals. Romans 9, for example, speaks of individuals. To one man he says this, another one says that. The man will say to me, why this, why that. And it's talking about individuals, then it talks about God's sovereignty. And God had this inspired this way. And we have to find those treasures and those truths in the Word of God. And when you start seeing that he speaks generically to one group, differently than he does another group, and then he speaks generically to large groups differently than he does individuals, then you start saying, I see what God's doing. But what people do is they stop thinking at this point. See, whoever believes, John 3:16, that means everybody can make a choice. That's not what it says, though. And people will add to it and stop thinking, and then once they're satisfied with what they want to hear, then they just keep going in that direction. I don't like that. I can't do that when I come to the Word of God. I find things I don't like. I got to study them. And I have this attitude of submit myself to the Word of God. What does it say? What does it say?
Okay. Yep, thanks.
All right, Scott. God bless, buddy. All right. Hey, folks, we're going to get to one more caller before the end of the show. And if you want to call, I probably won't get a call. Hey, we're not having any more classes on Wednesdays or Fridays for the rest of the year, just letting people know who might be in the area. We're going to start up again the first Friday. I'll be teaching probably on parables. I'm going to start teaching on parables a little bit the first Friday out there in Nampa, the first Friday of January. So I'll just let people know about that. But at any rate, for now, let's get to Monty from Meridian. Hey, Monty, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Hey, I just had a question. I've been studying Jehovah's Witness a little bit, meeting with a couple, and came across a scripture in Mark 1:24,
okay,
where the possessed man calls Jesus the Holy One of God.
Mm-hmm.
My question, I looked on a parallel online, if the word of, if he says the Holy One of God, or if that word is just in there for pronunciation, or, you know, for to make the sentence complete, or if it's just he's calling the Holy One God, as
well,
far as if he's calling Jesus God or not.
It doesn't, there is no of, the word, like we have in English, of, okay, it doesn't work like that. How it does work is that a noun takes, it changes its form. So I'm going to explain it. So, for example, the word for God is theos. The word theos is just the word God. The O-S at the end drops off, and then when it's of God, it becomes theou, the O-U ending, or Omicron Upsilon. So you have the root, which stays God, and then you have of God, to God, or God the subject, changes by just simply the last couple letters. That's how it works in Greek. So we also, the same thing happens with what's called a definite article, or the word the. That's a definite article. So what it literally is saying there in the Greek is ha-agios tu theou, the holy of the of God. So it's literally saying the holy one, okay, the holy of God, okay?
Okay.
So that, but there is no word of in Greek.
Right.
Okay.
That's kind of what I thought. That's what I was trying to see, you know, that's what I was looking at, is just another example of Jesus, you know, even a demon-possessed man as a demon calling Jesus God, you know?
Oh, yeah. Now, what are you studying with this guy? What, any particular thing? Maybe I can give you a pointer or two.
No, I ran into him on a job site. The lady came up and talked to me, and so I ended up meeting with her and her husband later, and they're mostly, I told them basically the main thing that I wanted to discuss was, you know, who Jesus is, the Trinity, who he is. Other than that, there's no point in discussing anything else because, you know, like,
well, you know,
1 Corinthians 2:14, they don't understand anyway, so.
That's right. Well, you might want to try this, because there's only really two things I'm really going to talk about. And the deity of Christ, obviously, is one, but they're prepared for it. But you know what? I was talking to a Roman Catholic last night, and I'm using the same arguments. And we're almost out of time, so I can't really get into it. But the issue of salvation and how they're saved, because once they realize they're not really doing enough, that'll shake them up. And then you'll be open to the gospel message of Jesus Christ doing everything necessary. Then they might be open that way. But we could talk about, if you're interested, call up tomorrow, and I'll tell you some tricks and some stuff about witnessing of the witnesses.
Okay.
If you want. Okay, buddy?
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
All right, big man. God bless. All right.
Thanks.
All right. Now, let's see. We're about out of time. Hey, pray for this ministry, will you? Because I'm telling you, it's work. It's a lot of work. Really good. I just cover your prayers. And as the season of Christ, as we celebrate his birthday approaches, I ask that you would pray for people and the church around the world who are also celebrating the birth of Christ. We'll be talking more about that later. God bless everybody. Gotta go. See ya. Bye.
This has been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.